This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, dedicated to increasing knowledge and engagement in the world's most critical issues. On April 24th, the Council is hosting a conversation with New York Times White House and National Security Correspondent David Sanger to discuss his latest book, New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. Registration for this event is available at globalaffairs.org/events.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
Hi, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Between the political drama in Georgia and the storming of the U.S. Capitol by a pro-Trump mob, another story involving race and police was unfolding an hour north of Chicago. The Kenosha County DA announced the officers on the scene of the shooting of Jacob Blake, including the officer who fired multiple shots at Blake from close range, will not be charged with any wrongdoing. Activists and residents of Kenosha took to the streets to protest the announcement.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Each and every day we get up and strap our boots on and get in a fight because we don't have a choice.
Black lives, they matter now!
Black lives, they matter now!
Coming up, we'll talk with Clyde McLemore, the founder of Black Lives Matter's Lake County chapter, and we'll hear from one of the attorneys for Jacob Blake's family. But first, let's go to WBEZ criminal justice reporter Chip Mitchell. Chip, remind us of what went down in Kenosha last August.
Well, right away, there was cell phone video of this shooting by police that was viewed around the world. It shows Kenosha police officer Rustin Shesky. He's white. It shows him following a black man, Jacob Blake, around the front of his car to the driver's side door, shows Blake reaching in to that open door and shows Officer Shesky shooting Blake. Three of Blake's children were there. There were seven shots, it turns out, and the shooting left Jacob Blake paralyzed from the waist down, Sasha.
Mm-hmm. What's his current condition?
Well, his family says he was discharged from a Milwaukee hospital in October and that he is undergoing treatment at an Illinois rehab clinic.
Now, as we mentioned, Chip, no police officers in Kenosha will be charged for this. Talk about what officials said yesterday was the reasoning behind that decision.
Well, Kenosha County District Attorney, he announced the decision. It was a nearly two-hour presentation in the afternoon. And basically, he explained the incident from the perspective of the police officers on the scene.
Remember, these are police officers who are uniformed officers. They're called to the scene on a designated domestic abuse call. When they get there, they know there is an arrest warrant for Jacob Blake, and they take actions at that time. And the question, really the only issue in this case, would be, do they have a right to the privilege of self-defense? The question to a jury would be, did Officer Shesky reasonably believe that the shooting at Jacob Blake was necessary to prevent being stabbed by him or necessary to prevent someone else from being in imminent danger of death or great bodily harm? The burden of proof is on the state. It's on the prosecutor to disprove. I do not believe the state would be able to prove that the privilege of self-defense is not available.
So again, that's Kenosha County District Attorney announcing yesterday that there will be no charges against Officer Rustin Shesky. And so the point is that he had a knife, they say. Blake's family disputes that, and that the officer was in fear, and it was self-defense. I'll point out too, Sasha, that the self-defense argument is a common protection of police officers. We see it again and again here in Chicago,
right,
when they shoot people on duty.
We see it everywhere. I also saw a mix of outrage, Chip, and heartbreak from the public when the news dropped. And you were in Kenosha. Tell us what you were hearing and seeing.
Well, basically, a lot of anguish. Members of Blake's family, Black Lives Matter activists, they said they weren't surprised, but they also just talked about feeling hurt. And a lot of them, Sasha, talked about feeling exhaustion. But, you know, right away, they regrouped. And a lot of folks, supporters of the Blake family, dozens of them, they went back out into the streets last night. They've been protesting pretty much all the way through since August. And they were back out on the streets last night, leading a caravan through the neighborhoods.
What message do you think this decision sends when it comes to police and accountability? We've been talking about that so much.
Well, the Blake family and its attorneys, they had one basic point, and they said that the struggle for police accountability is a long one. You know, that this is not just one battle. This is just one battle in a long fight. And they said that they're going to continue on in that struggle, and they encouraged everyone else to.
Well, as a precaution yesterday, the National Guard was also sent to Kenosha before the decision. But the protests today were totally peaceful, right?
Yeah, I stuck with them. I was following them along until about 8:30 last night. And they were going throughout the city, neighborhoods all around downtown, including some wealthy ones along the lakeshore. And there was not a heavy police presence in view. There was no unrest, no property destruction, nothing like that. I did see at the beginning of the caravan a column of armored vehicles pass by. That was a little bit ominous. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers had mobilized 500 National Guard troops. I don't know if those armored vehicles belonged to the National Guard or the police, but there was some tension in the air. But ultimately, as far as I was there, it was a peaceful protest.
I'm thinking about the family, Chip. Has Blake's family spoken out since the decision to not charge the officer who shot and wounded Jacob?
Yeah. So they were leading this car caravan through the neighborhoods, and you know they were chanting stuff like "Wake up, Kenosha." And then after the caravan, there was a gathering back at the barbershop where they started out, and Blake's uncle Justin Blake addressed the crowd.
I need y'all to go home, study your history. I need you to go home, eat well, love your family, say everything you can to your family or loved one when you go home tonight, because guarantees not tomorrow. So that's why each and every day we get up and strap our boots on and get in a fight, because we don't have a choice. As a Blake family, my father, and we just don't have a choice. Everything we see, we sort of got to get into. So we thank God for this opportunity that we could be the conduit to y'all. And for y'all to embrace it and understand what we're talking about, for you to be impactful in your community, be the hero and the angel in your own community. Stop letting them have the power, because the power's in the people.
So again, that's Justin Blake last night. He's the uncle of Jacob Blake, the man paralyzed by a Kenosha police officer last August, Sasha.
Yeah, so powerful. You could hear the frustration in his voice and the anger. They're going to seek civil action in this case. Tell us what you know about that, Chip.
Jacob Blake's attorneys say they will bring a lawsuit against the city, at least the city, as a defendant. And they say it could focus on Officer Shesky's alleged negligence and his training. They didn't go into great detail, but we did hear that much.
That's WBEZ criminal justice reporter Chip Mitchell. And we're talking about the latest on the news surrounding Kenosha. The officers in the Jacob Blake case have not been charged by local authorities with any wrongdoing. Chip, we're going to keep you on the line, but I want to bring in another voice into this conversation. Clyde McLemore is the founder of Black Lives Matter's Lake County chapter. He was also in Kenosha yesterday following the Jacob Blake decision. Clyde, welcome back to Reset.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing very well, Clyde. Thanks for making the time today. What was your immediate reaction to the news that no officers involved in this shooting will be charged?
Well, I wasn't surprised, because we knew about a long wait and what's been going on in Kenosha before Jacob Blake. Police have been harassing black and brown people throughout the community for decades. Their system is all the good guy game. As far as the state's attorney has never been challenged. He didn't have nobody to run against him. The mayor has never been challenged. So what they thought was that this shooting, that we'll have a few days of protests and we'll go home and it is over with. No, that's not the case, because Jacob Blake is the icing of the cake of what's happening around the country. America is in a state of emergency as far as black people are concerned, as far as police training and things like that is concerned. A week before the finding came out yesterday, they had already shut down the town, put cinnamon blocks out and everything. We knew then what was going on. As far as the National Guards coming, that didn't scare anybody because National Guards can only protect federal buildings. They can't come out and arrest nobody or nothing like that, no protesters or nothing like that. But we was not violent. We protested in a nonviolent area.
Well, Clyde, you say this has been going on, you know, for years, decades even. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, Kenosha is a city where they like to keep their citizens under control. It's more like a 40 to 50% black and brown people in the community, and there's no black and brown people in their municipality offices. They pick and choose who they have to keep the community quiet. For years, I've been getting calls from citizens up in Kenosha. Also, I had an apartment in Kenosha myself, even though that we are in Lake County, which is right outside of Wisconsin, which is right outside of Kenosha. I even stayed up there because of, property taxes was cheaper and stuff like that. But I came on back across the border and moved back because the way the police are up there, they will stop people randomly. It's been cases where they have suspected somebody that looked like somebody that they suspect, put them in a car, beat them up, and then drop them off and don't charge them. There's a couple of cases like that.
Yeah.
But we never really had a shooting until the Jacob Blake, and it was all on video. And I don't see why the DOJ didn't come in, you know, and do the investigation, because we knew how they was going to do it. They're part of the good guy gang.
Well, after this decision by the Kenosha District Attorney, Clyde, how do you want to see the Black Lives Matter movement respond?
Well, I've been talking to the uncle, and right now we want to take this to Washington, D.C., and have the Supreme Court to come in, and we're calling on them to come in and take over this case, this investigation, bringing in the DOJ to have it reinvestigated. As far as locally, what I would like to do, I like to keep consistency on the protests and let them know we're not going away. Even if we have to go to the district attorney's home and sit out there like we did with the Laquan McDonald in Chicago, and we went to Ron Emanuel's house, we could go do it at the state's attorney's house and the police officer's house. Let them know that we're not satisfied with the findings and nothing like that. But he will shoot again. He will shoot again.
Wow. That's Clyde McLemore, the founder of the Lake County, Illinois chapter of Black Lives Matter. Clyde, thanks again for your good work out there and for joining us today.
Thank you.
Still with us is WBEZ criminal justice reporter Chip Mitchell. Chip, we also got news yesterday about Kyle Rittenhouse, the teenager from North Suburban Antioch, who shot three people, killing two of them during the Kenosha protests after Jacob Blake was shot. Now, he's pleading not guilty to seven charges related to those events. What's the latest on that?
These Rittenhouse shootings took place August 25th. The arraignment was yesterday in the afternoon, actually just 2 hours before the charging decision about Officer Shesky was announced.
Oh, wow.
In a separate case, as they say, this arraignment took place. As expected, he pleaded not guilty to all seven charges against him. Now, Sasha, the most serious one is the Wisconsin equivalent of what in Illinois we call first-degree murder, and that carries a penalty of life imprisonment. Rittenhouse just turned 18 on Sunday. He was 17 when he shot these three people during the protest. He appeared in the hearing via Zoom, as he has in the past, from his attorney's office, and he spoke only two words very briefly when he was asked whether he understands that the conditions of his bail remain in effect. He answered, "Yes, sir." And that was all we heard from him. And his attorneys have argued that these shootings were acts of self-defense, that he is a patriot who was just trying to protect the city during civil unrest following Blake's shooting.
Well, briefly, before I let you go, Chip, how far away are we from that case being resolved?
Well, the hearing commissioner yesterday scheduled the trial to begin on March 29th. But the prosecutors, they seem to agree with Rittenhouse's attorney that that date will be pushed back. They haven't even started discovery yet. The defense will likely have many pretrial motions, and it'll take months and months to litigate those, I expect. So I would not expect the trial any earlier than summer, and it could be longer than that even.
That's WBEZ criminal justice reporter Chip Mitchell. Thanks for joining us, Chip.
My pleasure.
Now I want to turn to one of the attorneys for Jacob Blake's family. Joining us now is Patrick Salvi, Jr. He's managing partner of Salvi, Shostak & Pritchard in Chicago. Attorney Salvi, welcome to Reset.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for making the time. What are you hearing from the Blake family this morning?
Well, we all feel the same way about what happened yesterday. We're disappointed. We're disappointed that charges were not brought against Officer Chesky. We feel strongly that a case should have been brought for attempt murder and reckless endangerment. The elements of attempt murder are clearly met. That is, that the officer acted in such a way that he intended to do great bodily harm to ultimately kill Jacob. There is an exception for a police officer when he believes, reasonably believes, that he is in fear for his own life or in fear for the life of somebody else or great bodily harm. With respect to that question, it would be, I think, difficult for the officer to argue that he feared for his life when he shot, when he chased Jacob around the car, grabbed on his shirt, and pulled him back as he fired into his back. Similarly, with respect to reckless endangerment, we feel strongly that a case should have been brought, because if you look at the video, what you see is that there are five, one child and four adults behind the car, basically in the trajectory of Officer Chesky's shots, in addition to the potential for ricochet within the vehicle, given that there were children in the vehicle, and given the fact that Officer Chesky, by the time he was done firing the seven shots into my client's back and paralyzing him, was looking to his left and had the gun cocked to the side, like you'd see in a mob movie. So with all that, we're very disappointed. We look forward to pursuing the civil case. We're unsure as to whether any federal charges might come or if there are any other possibilities for criminal charges. That's something that there's some discussion about. But from my perspective, in terms of what my expertise is, I do look forward to bringing the civil case along with my co-counsel, Ben Crump, and the rest of Jacob's legal team.
Police have insisted that Jacob Blake was armed with a knife, and it's hard to tell from the video. He doesn't appear to be brandishing or waving a knife, but police say that there was a knife. What role does the knife play here?
Sure. I think the role the knife plays in this case and what you heard yesterday from District Attorney Gravely and Chief Ray, the consultant on use of force, is it's their excuse. They have a young man who, according to witnesses, those of whom I've spoken with, much of which is confirmed in the investigative file, which we continue to review. It was only released yesterday. But many witnesses that call this simply a beating. There really wasn't much in the way of any sort of announcement, nothing in the way of de-escalation or discussion, just simply hands-on abuse from the moment the officers got on scene. And then from there, Jacob, of course, understanding that not many months before George Floyd had been killed at the hands of the officers, was simply trying to protect himself. But never, not once, did he seek to do that with a knife.
Before we have to say goodbye, how is Jacob?
And thank you for asking that question, because it can't be lost on all of what's going on. He's paralyzed. He's going to be disabled for the rest of his life. Might he recover some neurological function in his lower extremities? We certainly hope so. But he will never walk again. In addition to that, because of the manner in which his spinal cord was injured through a blunt force trauma shearing of central nervous system tissue, he's going to be left with a chronic and devastating pain condition. That's the way the body works. When the central nervous system tissue is injured like that, it creates tremendous pain. He deals with that on a daily basis. So he has a horrible injury, maybe the worst a human body could suffer short of a brain injury. He'll continue to fight with respect to his rehabilitation, and he's done that.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt about it. It's a bad injury.
That's Patrick Salvey, Jr., co-counsel for Jacob Blake. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that's today's Reset. For more great conversations like this one, head to our archives at wbez.org/reset and take 30 seconds and leave this podcast a rating and a comment. It really helps other people find us. Thanks for that, and thanks for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and we'll meet again tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.